Officially call the meeting to order. We do have a quorum. Representative Schumacher moves the minutes dated February 22nd. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Before we get started, Representative Hansen, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. At the end of yesterday's meeting, Representative Franson indicated to me that we share a birthday next Thursday. So I think we will both be bringing in some treats for the committee. Oh, I forgot to talk to you about this. but be a week from today, we'll bring in something.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We appreciate that. That's the Ag Committee. That's what we're all about. Yes, Representative Volk.
Do you have to be here on time in order to get that treat, or can you
be
a minute late?
Yes, if you're a minute late, you have to watch us eat it. That's all there is to it. Representative Swazinski, if you do not mind, we have some very special guests today. All right, so what we'd like to do, because I believe they're under some time constraints as well, so at this time, Representative Swazinski, like I said, if you're okay, I'd like to call up Ms. Jessica Bush. And if Mackenzie Smith could join her as well. And so Representative Swazinski, you know, take a seat, my friend. I'm just teasing. Members, as all of us are fully aware, Representative Poppy, she invited all the members of FFA up. And that was a wonderful, wonderful time. Great experience as well. We did have a member that was sick, could not make it. And so she's here today. So I said, we're going to put you in the hot seat. You're going to come up and explain to us who you are and why we're seeing all the blue jackets. So please state your name, who you represent for the record, and begin.
Hello, my name is Jessica Bush, and I am from the Sleepy Eye FFA chapter. And I'm very grateful to be here today. I'm grateful that Representative Hamilton gave me the opportunity to speak here today. So I just wanted to say that the importance of the agricultural food and natural resource education blueprint book, due to the increased population growth and the cost of food, we need a plan for this, and we want all people to understand and value the agriculture, food and natural resource education systems and inspire students for a career in food production, because the population is growing and food costs are growing and we need farmers to feed these people, so it's important that we do that. And I actually have a friend who was from a big city, didn't know anything about agriculture, and he came to a small town and learned about agriculture, became the most active member in the FFA I know, and he really found a passion in agriculture, and if it weren't for those ag classrooms, he wouldn't have known about that. So I think the importance of ag ed is vital to a student's future. The main objective of the AFNR program is to have ag programs in every school in Minnesota. That's a very important goal for people to learn about ag. The majority of the population doesn't know everything there is to know. So, and if it weren't for FFA, I would not be here today. So I want to thank everyone for that opportunity.
So thank you, Ms. Bush. Are you going to introduce our next guest?
Yes, my friend is Mackenzie Smith.
Hi, everyone. I'm representing the Light Crystal Welcome Memorial FFA chapter.
And your name?
Mackenzie
for the record.
Smith.
All right.
From Light Crystal Welcome Memorial High School.
And is it true that you are the rodeo queen?
Yes, I'm Miss Minnesota High School Rodeo.
So, yeah. So what does that entail? What are your duties?
Well, I go around the state and I represent rodeo to other people, get it out there that there is a sport, just like you guys, just like you want us to represent the FFA schools, just the same thing, just rodeo.
So do you ride bulls? What do you do?
No, that's for the boys. I do the bear racing, roping, goat tying, and pole bending events.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. And let's see, Ms. Bush, you referred to the book. All the members received that a couple days. In the events, we need any additional, or we have questions or How do we find other copies?
If you have any questions, contact Julie Tesh. She was one of the creators of the booklet, so contact her if you have any questions.
Okay. Members, do we have any questions for the testifiers? Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. To the young lady who is Miss Rodeo, is there high school rodeo competition, like state high school league competition in Minnesota?
Miss Smith.
Yep, we compete everywhere around the state, and then the state finals is held in Hugo, Minnesota. So.
Representative Anderson, follow-up. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to thank all the FFA kids for being here today and personally recognize these two fine young ladies who happen to come, one from my current district and one from what is potentially my future district.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. So, well, I tell you what, I told you we're going to have all kinds of questions for you and put you on the hot seat and everything else, but everybody went pretty easy on you. So you did a wonderful job, as always. Welcome to everybody, like Representative Torkelson said. Welcome to everybody. And I've said this a number of times, and I firmly believe it. Never has there been more opportunity in agriculture as there is today. So welcome and have fun, and thank you so much for your testimony.
Thank you.
All right. So, yeah, very nice. So at this time, Representative Swazinski, top that one, my friend. I'm teasing. Would you like to move your bill?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move House File 2159 before the committee.
So Representative Swazinski moves that House File 2159 be recommended to pass and be referred to Commerce. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
All right. To your bill.
Mr. Chair, committee, this bill would create a new immigrant and minority pilot microloan program administered by the Rural Finance Authority, the RFA, and is the state's main agricultural lending arm. The RFA, or an intermediary, would issue loans for no more than $10,000 to qualifying borrowers to help finance the production of specialty crops and qualifying livestock. The program would receive funding from the RFA's existing revolving loan account. And in addition, this bill will make various minor changes to current law and grants with RFA, with general authority to accept gifts of money and personal property to support RFA's activities.
So, Representative Swazinski, where's the money coming from?
The money is coming from the agroforestry revolving loan account, and that will be closed off and discontinued, and the money will be transferred into this new program. I would like to ask Jim Borboom, the Deputy Commissioner from Department of Agriculture. This is an initiative bipartisan with the governor, and I'd like him to speak on kind of the ins and outs and the implementation of the bill. So, thank you.
Deputy Commissioner, welcome. Please state your name, who you represent for the record, and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I'm Jim Borboom, Deputy Commissioner with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Appreciate Representative Swazinski bringing this bill to your committee. Just regarding the transfer of funds, actually, we are transferring about $225,000 of unused money from the Agroforestry Loan Program toward this new pilot program initiative, although the Agroforestry Loan Program would still be in place. So what we would end up with is, instead of five loan programs right now that are currently pointed toward a revolving pool of funds, we would add another one that would be the Immigrant Minority Loan Program. But again, in full disclosure, we would take $225,000 that has not been utilized under that agroforestry and dedicate that toward the new program.
So, Deputy Commissioner, do we have any idea as far as the number of folks that would be seeking this this new program?
Mr. Chairman, to put a number, I don't have a good number. I'd be guessing if I gave you a number, but I do know that the stakeholders that we've met with have certainly expressed an interest in this. We had several conversations with members of the Hmong population, Somali population, Latino population. As you know, a lot of the specialty crop growers are in urban farmers or within urban environments, and this is a clientele that has not had access to low-cost credit, and so we're trying to find a model in order to make that happen.
Thank you. I was at the Hmong market here a few weeks ago, over the weekend, and I was visiting folks around there, and that was after, of course, the governor's initiative was announced, and just like I said, talking with the individuals, and there was a great interest, people that were very curious about this whole program, and we actually wanted to host this meeting at the Hmong market if we could, but because of having to record it and everything else, it would have been it was somewhat difficult in order to make that happen, so we're hosting it here. But like I said, just the individuals that I were talking to there, it seems to be a tremendous amount of interest. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a good bill, and I plan on voting for it. I have a couple of questions that I think to just clarify for the record on things. I'm on page 3 with the definitions of specialty crops. And Commissioner Borboom, I'm familiar with the farmers markets, and you may have a farmer that comes to the market and they have a plant. Let's say they have a pot with a lily in it. That's the produced plant. And there may be a stall next door that takes the flowers from that lily, cuts them, wraps them, puts them in a vase, so they've added value to that. Does the microloan program, as it's written, provide for value-added ability, or is it for the raw commodity of a plant or an animal?
Deputy Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, and my or the intent when we drafted the language was to direct the financing toward the production systems of specialty crops and livestock, and not the value added. So that's where the intent of the bill is at present time.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairs. So, Commissioner, let's take it to the livestock. If you had a chicken, this would provide for the loan to raise the chicken, but not to butcher the chicken and wrap it and process it and sell it raw or frozen.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, that would be accurate in that we are looking at the financing targeted toward the raising of poultry. It could be for purchases of feed or equipment or things of that nature for the raising of the poultry, but not for the value-added processing.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So perhaps a applicant could get a loan for a hoop house, but they could not get a loan for a refrigerator for storage.
Commissioner.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, that would be an accurate representation within the eligibility of the bill. You know, with respect to value-added processing, we know that that is a barrier, that that is a challenge, and so you know, we certainly work with those constituents to find access or source of funds, whether it be grant monies or USDA funds, to help build those type of infrastructure.
Representative Hansen.
And final question. Mr. Chair, so I think this is a new program at production at this time. I think as it matures, we may want to look at that and evaluate if the demand is coming on the value-added side of it, because I anticipate there will be. But I also anticipate you're probably going to have enough demand for raw production as well. So
yes, I would agree. Representative Anderson, Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, page 5, line 21, talking about collateral, it says security for the note must be a personal note. What do you mean by a personal note?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, the typically in a credit transaction, the individual that's borrowing or the entity that's borrowing the funds signs a personal note, and in the case of the personal note, it just simply defines the terms of the repayment terms and the security that is involved in the transaction or the type of collateral. These loans may be unsecured, or we're not going to require security, but we're essentially asking the intermediary to do that due diligence or the type of credit analysis and then essentially submit an application to us. So personal note is just a document that defines the terms or conditions of the loan for the two parties, both the borrower and the lender.
Representative Anderson. Representative Morrow.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Commissioner Borboom. two questions, if I might. The first question, I think the demand probably will be higher than the $250,000, but if it's not, what happens to the remaining amount?
Commissioner.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Morrow. The $225,000 under the terms of this bill would be transferred into a revolving loan account, and there are many other programs that are funded out of that account right now, such as the livestock equipment, methane digester, disaster recovery, stock loan programs. So the board would essentially allocate that pool of funds toward any of those programs.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The other question I have, given the populations that this program is directed toward, and I plan on voting for this as well, but I was interested, as Representative Anderson was asking, about the interest payments. And certainly, I have to imagine there are going to be some folks who are prohibited from paying interest due to their faith. How do you handle those situations?
Mr.
Yep, Mr. Chairman, Representative Morrow, those are good questions with respect to some of the populations do not allow interest payment. There are some models that I know that USDA or the Small Business Administration uses under some of their loan programs, so we can look at examples of how to manage that. I think in lieu of interest, it would be something like some fees or something along those lines.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's nothing, Mr. Boardman, that we need to do in this legislation. You can handle that administratively?
Correct. Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Morrow, that is correct. Yeah.
Thank you. Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and welcome, Mr. Boardman. This being a new program for the department, could you briefly outline your plans for promoting this program?
Yeah.
Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, the way we would promote the program, we're in the process right now of drafting some administrative policies. The delivery system under this program is we would work with an intermediary. That would be the relationship that the Rural Finance Authority would have, is with an intermediary. That entity or intermediary may be a commercial lender, member of a farm credit service system. It could be a foundation. It could be a cooperative. Some of those entities that already had existing relationships with this clientele. So the first thing we would do is just, again, through letters or correspondence or emails, we would notify those likely intermediaries of that availability of those loan programs. Susan Stokes is here to also talk about the need of the program, and we'd reach out to some of those partners as well.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you. And just a brief follow-up, I assume this program is slated to go statewide?
Commissioner.
Yes, that is correct, Mr. Chairman, Representative. This is a statewide program. We're not limiting it to any geographic boundaries.
Ms. Torkelson. Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Mr. Boardman, and Representative Swidzinski for bringing this, explaining the bill, and sorry I missed the first introduction of it. Mr. Boardman, I think you answered my question already, and that was going to be for those qualifying for the loans, if they would. Earlier this week, we heard from farm business management instructors and that program, and when you referenced that the loans would be administered through other financial facilities, that they would probably involve the applicants with some farm business management programming, I anticipate, correct?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Szymanski, you're correct in that under the bill, what we'd like to have is the borrowers would have access to have access to some technical assistance or training, and the need, I understand, is maybe some technical assistance in crop and livestock production systems, but also in business planning or farm analysis, that type of work. So we're asking the intermediary either to provide technical assistance or offer access to technical assistance in business planning. We need to work out some of the logistics on that, but that is one of the conditions that we would ask in order to have access to this loan program.
Thank you, Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Different question, and again, the question was asked about how do we notify potential applicants, and being a participant in the industry, I'm sure you'll be contacting the St. Paul Farmers Market Association, the Central Minnesota Fruit and Vegetable Growers, Fruit and Vegetable, FMVGA. There's all kinds of those groups, but I would also anticipate, through the our network of colleges and universities as well, that information will be distributed. Am I correct?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that is a great lesson. I'll make note of that. So thank you for suggesting it.
Representative Szymanski. Follow up?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner, or to the author, I have heard that there's a number of lending institutes that are wanting to start programs to target similar population. Do you see this as far as go hand in hand or in conjunction with?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I believe that, you know, this will work well with, you know, there's a lot of initiatives going on within industry. I think this has an opportunity to really kind of double those efforts with state buy-in, really. And I think this will be a good bipartisan bill to move forward.
So. All right. Thank you. We do have some other testifiers. Ms. Stokes. And then after Ms. Stokes, Hector Garcia. So please state your name and who you represent for the record and begin, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'm Susan Stokes. I'm the Executive Director of Farmers Legal Action Group. Thank you for introducing this bill, Representative Swinski, and for this hearing and the opportunity to testify about it. My organization is a nonprofit law center located in St. Paul. Our mission is to provide legal services and support to family farmers to help keep them on the land. And we were started in 1986 during that credit crisis, and we've been around for 26 years now. We started working with Hmong farmers about 7 years ago when we got a phone call from a Hmong farmer in the a Hmong attorney in the community who had a client who was a Hmong farmer with some questions about legal questions about what was happening at the Minneapolis farmers market. So we helped the farmer client, and then we asked this lawyer if we could get some information from him because we, you know, the Hmong farmers in our community are very visible, but we had no relationship with any of them, and we assumed that they had some legal needs. So we asked him, how many Hmong are there farming in Minnesota? And he said, well, the last census was 40,000 Hmong in Minnesota. There are 40,000 Hmong farmers. So we began an outreach program, and we hired a Hmong-speaking outreach liaison, and we now have on our staff a native Hmong-speaking attorney, and our outreach has deepened, and we work in partnership with Hmong organizations, the Association for the Advancement of Hmong Women in Minnesota, and we also work with the Minnesota Food Association, and then we've also developed partnerships with other organizations like the Rural Enterprise Center, which serves primarily Latino farmers. At any given time, we're working with more than 100 Hmong farm families serving a range of needs that they have. And this bill, we're really grateful to the initiative of the Department of Agriculture for bringing this forward. They have been in conversation with us and many of the other groups serving immigrant farmers, asking what are the needs of the immigrant farming community. And we're really grateful for that initiative and them asking the questions. I support this bill primarily because I see it as an economic development and a job creation bill. A lot of people don't really think of farming as a job, but we have seen since the downturn started in 2008, many of the immigrants who have are the lowest skilled jobs lost their jobs in the downturn. Many of their children who graduated right around that time from college have couldn't find jobs. So they're turning back to what they know, and they know how to farm. And this job will help this targeted population. It is a low-income population. Even for as long as the Hmong community has been here in Minnesota, 25 to 30% of Hmong in Minnesota are living at or below the poverty line. And the Hmong have paved the way for farming. I think if you go to our farmers markets, you see more than 50% of the vendors are Hmong. And they're really inspiring the new immigrants who are coming here. A few weeks ago, we had the 7th Annual Immigrant and Minority Farmer Conference here in St. Paul. This is a conference that is known nationally. The Secretary of Agriculture has commented on it. The Assistant Secretary of Civil Rights was the keynote speaker, and he was really floored, really, was the word he used, by the energy in the room. We had 250 immigrant farmers or folks who want to farm, and we interpreted the conference into 6 languages, including Swahili and Bhutanese. And so there is just a very big interest among immigrants, new immigrant populations, in farming. And it's something that they can do to immediately produce income for their family and contribute to the economics of their community. This program, the need that it fills is Many, many immigrant farmers cannot access traditional credit sources. They can't access commercial credit. They don't have a credit history. The federal farm programs, they usually are not eligible for those for some time, but even if they were, they don't fit. A lot of these farmers don't want a $100,000 loan. They need $5,000 or $7,000. And that targeted small amount can have a huge impact. For instance, if a farmer can buy a rototiller, then they don't have to hire someone to till their field every year. If they can buy a drip irrigation system, I mean, then they're not subject to, you know, Mother Nature as much as they have been in the past. Last summer, for instance, was a terrible summer, and income of our farmers was way down. The University of Minnesota Extension has done a study showing that you can earn about $4,500 in net income from an acre of vegetables. And for a family living in poverty, that can be another 50% if they have 2 acres of their income, or another 20%. And so it's a significant boost to the economy. And what it also does, this program will help them to develop credit history. Currently, the farmers that we work with, they borrow money. Every farmer borrows money. I mean, in the spring, you need to get your inputs in, and then you pay it back in the fall. They just borrow from their relatives. So you're not establishing a credit history if you're borrowing from an aunt or an uncle. So this will be a very good program in that sense as well. The technical assistance that was being discussed previously is also a great benefit. We worked very hard at connecting immigrant farmers with government programs, and it hasn't been easy on either side. It's been a long journey. And the business management courses, for instance, we had a farmer who borrowed $10,000 for an operating loan, and as a condition of the loan, she had to get a business management, go through a business management course. We could not find one that was tailored to a vegetable producer. So I think that this will help both sides meet the need that is present in the community. I also want to add a word about promotion. And again, giving kudos to the Department of Agriculture. They have become conveners in the community of the nonprofit organizations working with immigrant farmers. And so just through the group that they have been working with, they will be able to reach hundreds, if not thousands, of immigrant farmers to get the word out about this program.
Yeah. Ms. Stokes, last February, I had a wonderful opportunity to travel to Laos with a Hmong delegation here from St. Paul. And so I've met and developed some wonderful relationships with them. And it was interesting. They're saying, Rod, we're farmers by nature. And so through those talks, I actually have a farmer friend south of the cities here around Rosemont. And so we're trying to see if we can't free up some land down there to provide some additional access to land, because that's been one of the issues, if you will. So, like I said, develop some wonderful relationships within the Hmong community. And there's definitely a need. So, definitely a need. We do have some questions. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And you kind of addressed my question. You talked about the challenge of access to credit. I was going to ask about the challenge of accessing land and the availability of finding a spot to do their gardening or whatever is done.
Ms. Stokes.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, that is actually the biggest need, and this program is actually a step toward addressing that need. The farmers we work with generally don't know that they're going to have the land from year to year that they're renting, and so long-term access to land is our ultimate goal. I mean, the ultimate goal really being the ability to buy land. And so we are working with a number of partners to find innovative ways to access land, at least for a longer-term lease than 1 year or season to season. If you have a piece of land for only one season, you can't you plant differently. You treat the land differently. You can't plant perennials. But if you have a long-term lease, then you can do that, and you can plan better, you can do marketing better, and this program will allow the farmers to build credit so that they can eventually access a loan to buy a piece of land. So it's a very important stepping stone in that process.
Representative Anderson. Seeing no other questions for the testifier, thank you, and we'll call up Hector Garcia and then Gene Lee. So, Mr. Garcia, welcome. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, and begin, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members of the committee. My name is Hector Garcia, and I'm the Executive Director of the Latino Affairs Council. And I'm here to support the bill and thank the representative and the Department of Agriculture for submitting this very important legislation. The reason behind our support is that basically what the FSA spokesperson talked about, the great opportunities that lie in the agricultural field and the dire economic need that the state has to take advantage of those opportunities. Innovation in agriculture is terribly important, and tapping into the human resources that are carrying out the work is perhaps even more important, because we need to harness the force of immigration. The immigrants of today have a chasm of a cultural nature and economic nature in regards to the majority population, very different from what took place in the beginning of the 20th century, where the graduation rate of Minnesotans and Americans in general was about 6%. Today, as you know, it's over 90%. So a lot of these immigrants come from rural communities in Latin America, in our case, and probably also from Asia, with very little education and not much knowledge of English, if at all. And so it's very difficult to integrate them the way they should. And nobody wants them to be a burden to the state, particularly not at a time like this. So it behooves all of us, I think, to do whatever is possible to harness that very important force and integrate them into our community as soon as possible. There are several challenges that they face. One of them, as was mentioned earlier, is the access to land. Training and technology is another one. The infrastructure and process and added value. And finally, the financing obstacles. And this is the one, the last one, that this bill addresses quite effectively, I believe, as long as the intermediaries are provided with the adequate guidance and support that they will require to make the bill applicable. And I'm sure you know that the market to which they will be selling is a very large and growing market. It's my understanding that it has a 20% annual growth, which is very significant in today's economy. I've been informed by experts in this field, such as the head of the Main Street Project, who is a Latino, Reginaldo Haslett Marroquin, that the market demand is only being met at best at 5%. So it's a huge, huge opportunity, as the young lady brought up. And I think you could be instrumental in helping these individuals take advantage of that great opportunity and thereby improve their contribution to the economy. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members of the committee.
Any questions for the testifier? Mr. Garcia, I was asking, like I said, I visited the Hmong market, and I've been talking to others as well. Do you see, is there an interest for individuals who want to be more involved in agriculture that are currently residing in the city? Is there an interest of a large interest to move out in rural areas where we do see declining populations and stuff like that? Do you see an interest?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, yes, I definitely am aware of a great interest, because immigrants come here for jobs. That's the main reason why they're here. They are prodded into leaving their homes, their families, risking sometimes their lives to get here for the sake of getting a job. And usually they will arrive where they have a relative, a friend. That's why you find heavy concentrations of people from one city or one community in their home countries. And oftentimes they will not have sufficient information made available to them of opportunities elsewhere. And as I said earlier, they don't speak the language many times. They don't have any friends outside of their closely knit community. And so they would have a real hard time were it not for agencies like CLAC and others to know about opportunities elsewhere, such as the ones provided by Main Street Project and Rural Enterprise Center and some of the Hmong associations. I think it'd be very important for us to support your efforts and try to communicate the opportunities to those people who might want to move. And I understand many immigrants have done precisely what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Mr. Garcia, I live in a very small community of Mountain Lake. It's about 2,200 people. Mm-hmm. And it was founded, it was a Russian Mennonite community, if you will. And back in the around the Vietnam War, shortly thereafter, it was actually the churches that were bringing families to Mountain Lake, and the community at one point in time was about 25% minorities. And it's interesting, like you had said, the first generation that was here that struggled with the language and stuff like that. The second generation were becoming business owners and everything, and the third generation are graduating with my children, and they're homecoming kings and queens and scholars and going off to college and, you know, playing video games on my couch with my children and basketball in the backyard and whatever the case may be. And so I've always said it would be wonderful if we could design whatever it is to incorporate quicker into the communities and everything else versus having about a three-generation lag in which I saw. And so whether it's through agriculture opportunities or, I've said in the past, soccer, you know, that's a wonderful tool as well, if you will. But are there? I know I'm going off on a tangent here, but are there other things that we could be doing as well?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, what you just pointed out, Mr. Chair, is, I believe, a pivotal factor. I don't think it's a tangent at all. I think it's crucial in the integration of new immigrants to take into account the cultural factor, which unfortunately many people are not aware of. And as long as we do not address that cultural factor, the process of integration will take longer and longer because of the situation that I described earlier of this cultural and language chasm that exists, which has not existed in previous waves of immigration to this degree. And so I think that much could be done about that, particularly in the area of education, particularly in communications such as the one that the state councils carry out. It's imperative, I think, for everybody involved, you know, the citizens, the legal residents, the new immigrants, to make sure that the process is as quick as possible. When you don't know what is expected of you in a new country, and I'm an immigrant myself, so I'm fully aware of some of the challenges. Now, I was fortunate enough to grow up in a middle-class family that made sure that I learned English when I was 10 years old. I came here with a college degree. I was a consultant for a British firm before I came here. So it's a very different situation than the challenges these people are experiencing. And so if we don't help them, we promote their falling into dependence and becoming a burden to the community.
So, excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Garcia. I know we have our future is sitting here with FFA, right? And I have said that never has there been more opportunity in agriculture as there is today. And I was just hoping to bridge that connection with the new immigrants and stuff as well, the opportunities in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's many opportunities there in agriculture. We do have Representative Anderson, Bruce.
This is for the author.
Okay. Any questions for the testifier at this point in time? No? So thank you for your
thank
testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members of the committee.
All right.
Thank you.
And Representative Anderson, I'll call on Jean Lee to move forward. And as she's coming forward, if you'd like to ask your question to the author.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Swazinski, what's the effective date of this legislation once it's passed?
I believe it's Swazinski. Mr. Chair, I believe it's, is it January 1st or July 1st? But let me check that. August 1st. Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Lee, please state your name, who you represent for the record, and begin, please.
I'm Jean Lee. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you. I'm Jean Lee, President and Executive Director of Children's Hope International, R&R Family Centers, and also head the Asian Pacific American Housing Consortium. I've also been the former community liaison between the legislators and the Council of Asian Pacific Minnesotans, which reports to the state.
Welcome.
And I also know the different, all the different Asian groups. I would be bringing their voices also to the table, and the group that the Association for the Advancement Among Women, who had testified on the Senate side. They're also a member of our consortium. I'm testifying also because I have a background, among many other things, experiences. I have been a farmer, but not growing up in it. I originally came from Hawaii and went to school, but as a matter of life's what happens, I became owner and operator of a couple hundred acre farm. In it, we did cash crops, which are your corn, your soya beans, your wheat, alfalfa, and so forth. But I also did vegetable farming, which was sold to the grocery stores. Also raised livestock, cattle, sheep, chickens, rabbits, pheasants, etc., also for consumer sales. The thing I haven't gotten into was fish, where because I only could catch fish with a pole and a worm. However, with the issue coming up about Asian carp, we're looking into new ways as far as bringing that to market and harvesting that and so forth to also deal with the problems that the DNR is facing in that and other people are facing in that area. So we're working on a project related to that. As far as the farmers market, you're familiar with it existing in a number of your different cities, all the way from downtown Minneapolis, Nicollet Mall, to the farmers market in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Eagan, and a number of other areas. We do cover the state, and so the other thing we're working on, or I'm working on with the Association for the Advancement Among Women, who also operates statewide, is negotiation contracts as far as bringing the produce to your chain grocery store. So we're still in the process of that. And I do appreciate further, you know, the mention as far as the conference, because I did attend one of them and saw the kind of training that they train these people into, and I said, boy, I didn't have that kind of training when I started. I learned, you know, by hard knocks. And so I think it's good and it's necessary in order to bring the produce to market. So one of the things as far as what Representative Szymanski was talking about was the technical assistance training, which I never had. We lost our shirt, kind of. But, and so with the business plan, et cetera, you're proposing, I see it actually being viable business. I mean, we made okay, but we could have done better. I have my MBA, so that kind of tells you what kind of business plan they teach you as far as MBAs. The other thing was their talk of as far as establishing traditional credit. I do know, because I was a lender, that there is no real business loans in this area. And so any help in that as far as assisting them in establishing credit and getting future business loans is helpful. We ended up using our regular jobs to kind of support our farming. As far as the second generation, we found out that because they have been out of jobs with the economy, a number of them have turned back to farming, which is what their parents knew or relatives knew, and they could make a viable living. It's also true to the adage that you teach a person to fish and they could feed themselves and feed others. I myself am thinking of going back to doing some home gardening just for the need for some of the vegetables that I can't get from the stores, which brings me back to Hawaii in that there's a number of produce there that grow there that I have not seen in Minnesota that I would also like to see grown here. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions to the testifier? Any questions to the testifier? Thank you so much for your testimony. I appreciate it. Representative Swazinski, you any final comments?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just want to reiterate, you know, the access to quality capital really can mean the difference between success and failure of a business. I believe this pilot project, pilot loan program, will do just that, and I think it will give success in agriculture to folks that need it. I move that House File 2159 be passed and referred to Commerce.
Representative Swazinski renews his motion that House File 2159 be recommended passed, be referred to Commerce. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Members, next Tuesday we'll be taking up next Tuesday and Thursday the department's ag policy bill. So that'll be on the calendar there as well. So with that, members, we are adjourned. Thank you.